Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's news tea time. Welcome back, everybody. This is a very exciting episode. Well, first of all, joining me as always is Benjamin Orr. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Lou?
Good. And getting the band back together, joining us for the first time, is not in our hearts the first time. Everybody, please welcome Colin Bennett to the show.
Hello, everybody.
So, Colin.
My beautiful reintroduction. I like it.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It's like the thing from The Simpsons, like, hi, everybody, hi, Dr. Nick.
Hi, Mr. Colin.
Stayed up nights trying to come up with that.
Colin, if you are a teacher, are you going to make them call Mr. Bennett or Mr. Colin?
I prefer Mr. Bennett. It has more of an authoritarian feel to it.
I would agree. It definitely does.
Yeah, definitely Mr. Colin does. Makes me sound like a guidance counselor or someone that uses puppets professionally.
Mr. Colin's puppet show. You're right, it fits like a glove. So anyways, well, we have lots of stories to get to. We also have a game to fit in there somewhere. So no chit-chat this week, unless you have anything that we absolutely have to talk about, because I have nothing that is critical.
I'm at a loss, as usual.
Good work, Ben.
Yes.
And Colin, you're good to go. So let's get after it. Let's start with sort of a leeway into how we know each other, and then it'll also segue nicely into a sort of semi-related article. Colin and Ben and I all know each other from our time writing on Reviewing the Brew, which Colin did for a very long time. I did for a very long time. Ben for a very long time. We all served as consecutive editors of the site. And now it's some unrecognizable thing. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. But our first story is baseball related, so that's always fun. This week, a Korean mayor got egged for his decision to move his team's stadium. This sort of coincides with what's going on with the Atlanta Braves and at Turner Field, but essentially it's exactly as it sounds. This guy wants to build a new stadium, and he wants to relocate his team. The locals are unnerved by this, so they felt like egging appropriate response. Ben, you're from Ohio, where egging is an everyday occurrence. What did you think of his form and technique?
I mean, well, it is a national pastime here. I mean, you look at the windup he has with the egg. I mean, it is a nice throw. I mean, maybe they'll consider him for the Korean leagues. I don't know if maybe he's putting a little bit of a change-up on that, a little bit of fastball right there. I'm not really sure, but I mean, it was good. I mean, he did hit him in the shoulder, and I believe he hit him right in the side of the head. But it honestly makes me wonder, does this man just carry around eggs in his pocket, like, all the time?
He obviously went there with the intention to egg him, but maybe that would make it better if he had an egg in his pocket, and he's like, I swear to God, I see one dude pissing off one more time.
While I do agree that this was premeditated egging, now that you say that, that's all I want to be true. I just want that man to like be carrying an egg at all times, just a raw egg, and then when the time is right, he just uses it.
So instead of Jack the Ripper, we have Jack the Egger.
Jack the Egger. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's such a silly retaliation, but I think it does prove some kind of point.
Yeah, I mean, fans are, you know, very dedicated to, you know, a certain settlement of where a team is, and you can't fault them for that. So when you up and move a team, you know, it's going to unnerve a lot of people. I mean, look at the Seattle Supersonics when they became the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, Seattle still isn't forgiven people, the NBA, about that.
No, probably won't.
No, probably.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm looking at the screenshot of the video they have of it right now, and it looks like I'm looking at Destin's version, but it looks like the deputy mayor is like trying to reach his hand out to like block the blow.
But he was not close.
Yeah.
He did not try that hard.
The end for him, though. You know, like what? Does he get a medal for defending him from an egg? What?
But you know what? The guy who got Eggman, he took it like a champ. Like, he flinched when it was coming in, but once it was done, he looked at his jacket and he just carried on with his business. It was kind of gangster a little bit. He just took it and he was like, whatever. More money, more problems.
I think it's hilarious that when the guy who threw the eggs is just walking away, they're all just looking at him like they're not seeing anybody to apprehend him.
Nobody
they're just watching him walk away.
They were like, what do we charge him with? It's a good thing.
Aggravated egging, probably.
Yeah, maybe that's a thing. Wasting food? I don't know. How bad is the food situation in Korea? I feel like it's okay in South
depends
Korea.
Depends on if you're South or North Korea. South Korea,
I would assume this is South, because I don't think North Korea is allowed to have fun time. Yeah, so baseball would be fun time.
I think people are wearing shoes, and like it seems like there's some sort of... People are allowed to do stuff, and he wasn't immediately like shot, sentenced to hard labor. So.
Everyone has a different haircut. Like, so...
They actually have water.
I don't see a single flag in the building. That would be
flags. Yeah, that's also true. There's not insane patriotism everywhere you look. But that's at least he did something. You know, most of us, like myself, probably would just sit back and bitch about it or write a blog about it. And he took action, although it was
snarky Facebook statuses. That's my solution to the world.
Yeah, me too. That's kind of how I deal with life, unfortunately. I wish there was something more. Like egg throwing. I'm going to start carrying an egg around in my pocket.
You know, that would be a really messy situation if you did it, like, with road rage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That'd actually probably be when I use it most. I have to drive in Illinois a lot. And if you don't know, they aren't good at driving, those Illinois folks. They ain't so good at the driving.
Sounds like Pennsylvania, folks.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. Can't live with them, can't kill them.
I drove through Pennsylvania at night once. It was a terrifying experience.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not fun. I've done the same thing.
The foothills there, it was...
You want to know what true terror is? It's driving through Nebraska the long way at night. Because there's nothing. It's just corn. And it's the whole length of the state. It's like 9 hours. So you go to bed, and when you wake up, it's just nothing but corn. No people. Oh, it's the worst. Nebraska's the worst.
Lengthwise through Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Indiana, the long ways, is no bueno.
Last time I did it, I actually got physically surprised by the sight of Indianapolis.
Yeah. It does throw you off a little bit.
It was gone.
It catches you by surprise.
Because you drive that, and you're like, people live here?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, no.
That's crazy.
Lengthwise through Indiana is all, it's like flat corn, and then you like drive up a hill and you take, and the freeway kind of wends its way to the left, and then Indianapolis just appears out of nowhere. And then you drive right around the outside of the city and it's just gone. There's like no suburban structure. It's weird.
Yeah, for anyone who's never been to Indianapolis, the highway system for Indianapolis, it's essentially just a circle. Or like a rounded out square around the city. That's all it is. So there's one highway that just goes around the entire city, and then you just get on and off wherever you need to go. It's weird. I don't like it. I don't trust it.
Exactly. It's not trustworthy.
No. It's, speaking of trustworthy, let's go to story number two. Who would have thought that a street-walking performer dressed as Elmo could get into trouble? Certainly not me. Ben?
Gee, I'm not surprised here.
Colin, you are familiar with people who dress as stuffed animals and walk the streets. They're a trustworthy bunch, right?
Almost to a man, they are trustworthy, actually, I find. They're the salt of the earth, really.
They're truly the best type of people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a job so much, because it's literally not a job, but also it's more of a calling, really, you know, in art form, a higher purpose, to walk the streets as a knockoff mascot of something else.
You have to be a true performer to be able to completely cover everything that you are with something that people already know and care about, and then say absolutely nothing and collect money. It's truly a art form, And it's actually, Ben, is this or is this not the national pastime of Ohio?
Well, that and egging, I mean, you got a battle brew in
right there. Ohio, aren't they, that's the furry capital of America, right, where all of the furries live, the people who like to dress up as weird animals?
No, you're thinking of Pennsylvania.
I'm sorry, you're right, Pennsylvania.
So, I mean, but I mean, being next to Pennsylvania, I can certainly
vouch.
Understand.
There's some bleed over there, obviously, the borders are a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, this 36-year-old woman walking around the streets of the Big Apple, she got a little too aggressive with somebody over getting a crappy tip. Now, I've worked in the service industry. Colin, I know you've worked in the service industry.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, you've worked in the service industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad reality that you're going to get the shaft from people. And you have to learn to temper that anger, especially if you're dressed like a fucking child's tickle-me toy. You have a responsibility to the fake character that you are representing.
The thing is, she should be happy she got a tip at all.
Elmo has a long history of being friendly to children. Oh, well, all right.
Well,
I take that.
He does.
Well,
he does, but I mean, even still. The fact that she got money at all for doing this is what's amazing. And then she wanted more? Come on, man.
Well, see, the thing is, there are people that are really good at being fake mascots or fake characters of other things in these areas. Los Angeles is the other big one. But in New York City, it's like a legitimate, like, micro-economy going on in there. And she's obviously just in on the ground floor. She's eager to prove herself. I think she just, she sort of outkicked her coverage on this one.
Yeah. Now, when they arrested her, though, she already had $200. So that leads me to believe that in less than a full day's work, she's pulling in at least 200 untaxed dollars a day.
Yeah.
I assume she's not paying taxes. She dresses as Elmo on the street. I'm assuming she does not pay taxes. Call me crazy. She's not paying taxes.
Yeah, well, and we don't know. Maybe this is just a side gig for her, too, you know? She's moonlighting as Elmo.
She's a doctor on her off time.
She's trying to pay her way through med school, man.
You just see Big Bird in this office just with all this, with a cigar and just some bills.
I would pay to watch the Sesame Street characters, like, do a noir film where Big Bird's a private eye.
I can almost guarantee you that already exists somewhere on the internet.
I should probably try to find it because I really want to watch it.
The Sesame Sopranos?
The Sesame Sopranos. I like it.
Be a real tragedy. You don't get me my money, Elmo. What a shame that would be.
Ben, I'm so glad you did an impression for Colin on the show.
Oh, I've missed you guys.
Colin, you can come on whenever you want. You're always welcome on the show. Anyway, I've been to New York. I've walked by all the street performers. I've lived there before, and, you know, it's just part of the deal. They do make a really good living, though. I know that for a fact. They make a very handsome living. She has to be careful, because there's also a sense of shame in having your mugshot taken where your lower half is fuzzy. Because they'll take it with just your face, but you still have and you have to hold it, you know, with your hands, and then everybody can still see your arms with your Elmo costume on. That shit's for life.
Yeah, that's open records, man. That'll follow you forever. To say nothing of you know, what happens when she's in the holding cell then.
Yeah.
You know, dressed as three-quarters of a Muppet.
Can you just imagine, like, future employers, you know, okay, this resume looks good, you did this, you did that, you got arrested as being Elmo. Okay. Like, does that automatically put you out the door with a job?
I don't think so. I mean, who's your boss? Like, who do you report to? If anything, this will make her a celebrity, I would imagine. People will be like, oh, no shit, is that Elmo who got arrested?
First of all.
Yeah. See?
You put it on your resume that you got arrested as Elmo. You deserve any job that you apply for, because you're the only person I've ever met.
If you're willing to just openly admit that, you're higher worthy in my book. Come on in.
Because we're looking for a company of honest, hardworking people, and obviously you fit the bill.
You have great people skills. We already know that.
A little aggressive with the money, but...
That's okay. I want people who are after the dollars, Ben.
I want people
who are driven by money.
You can rework that when you're writing a resume. Now you're a go-getter. You're intensely focused on success. This is a sell, actually.
You know, and Colin and I were talking about this before the show, was she was charged with aggressive solicitation. Like, we didn't know that was a thing.
Now that I know that's a thing, though, I've got some local Jehovah's Witnesses who are about to get a rude awakening.
That still happens, really?
Yeah, man, they're soliciting. You know what's funny, Colin, is that what they'll do is they'll come by and solicit when my dad and I are brewing beer. And every time we have a similar conversation, because it's always different people. They never send the same people. So they stop by and they're like, hey, we'd like to take a minute to talk to you. And my response to them is, hey, I really appreciate you coming by, but I am a very happy atheist. Which my dad, who I brew with, will respond, yeah, the problem is we raised him Catholic. It's a very funny joke, but now we've used it like 3 or 4 times brewing. And so, but it's different people every time. So to them, it's kind of, I'm sure it's a story they tell later. So my dad's probably some sort of weird atheist legend. With the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, and the good thing is it's consistency. You can't give them any wiggle room.
No. It's silly. But anyways, I should probably call the police.
Oh, there you go.
But you know what? If they dress like Elmo, I probably would care less. Dedication.
Yeah, if they dress like Elmo, I'm probably more interested in what they have to say, just because how do the two combine?
Just imagine, like, Elmo talking as a Jehovah's Witness. Just kind of imagine that voice.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm picturing in my head. It'd be terrifying, I think, but...
Not as terrifying. I was going to segue. I'm sorry, Ben. I blew it.
I feel like that's something you would see in your nightmares, though. Oh, honestly.
It'll still work. Speaking of something you'll see in your nightmares, let's go to story number 3. It still works. It still works. Oh, I had to take a breath, though. I was really holding it in after I kind of blew it, Ben.
You got a little overexcited. It's okay.
Yeah. I saw a really great opportunity to talk about waking up in a field of donkeys, and I tried to take it. But I got it on the nightmare part. You still brought it back home, Ben. So, a gentleman who went missing after a car accident in New Mexico tells police that he woke up in a field of donkeys. I mean, that's essentially the basis of the story, but I would like to find out, is this or is this not one of your individual nightmares? Like, and it doesn't even have to be donkeys. Just, like, waking up, not knowing where you are, and just being in a field of blank.
It depends on what's in the field. It's just, like, an empty field, you know.
Well, right. But, I mean, like, I'm not saying, like, a field of boobs. Like, a field of, you know, a creature of some kind. Donkeys, even though they're...
Hey, that first thing was all I ever wanted.
Well, that's all we all want. Really. Yeah, that's the American dream, right? A boob farm? But, like, you know, just some sort of creature, because donkeys are not threatening or they're not intimidating in any way, but if I woke up and knew I was in a car accident and I was just staring at a field of donkeys, I would shit my pants. I would poo all over. And I would probably pee also.
See, donkeys, for me, wouldn't do it. Ostriches?
Ooh,
that would ruin whatever's left of, you know, my life. Whatever increasing the short amount of time I have left in life is ruined by the ostriches.
Well, technically, you could say that this man woke up in a field of ass.
Oh, Benjamin. How did the writer of this story not pick up on that? Wow, you know, Ben. Ben, that's why you're the king, man. That's why you're the king.
Sometimes the jokes write themselves, you know?
Yep. So anyways, I mean, so again, like, you're conscious that you rolled your car, and then you just wake up in a field of donkeys. Like, for a split second, don't you think, oh, shit, is heaven Mexico?
If it is, I demand a lot of explanation.
Just, like, for one second, though, doesn't your brain just go, oh, God, is this what it's going to be like?
God is a donkey? What?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
But, you know, it can go one of two ways, actually. That could be one. The second one I feel like could be, like, the start to an episode of Breaking Bad, since it takes place in New Mexico. Walter White just wakes up in a field of donkeys.
That'd be funny. Yeah, see? Works like that. I've been watching... I'm through season 4 of Breaking Bad, not to brag, but I'm starting to talk like Jesse Pinkman, and it's very noticeable. And so if that happens, I'm trying to consciously not do it in the show, but the words yo and bitch have become way more prevalent in my vocabulary over the last 2 weeks. Referring to groups of people as yo is ridiculous, and I need to stop doing it.
No, that makes sense, though. I have the same problem when I watch, like, TV shows or movies. I subconsciously try to become the characters that someone else have invented.
Yeah.
But in my own regularly established life, you know? I know, I'm sure you're not cooking meth in your kitchen anymore, but...
Sure,
yeah,
thank you. Yes, I appreciate the disclaimer. It's important to know that it's not anymore. We already have enough stuff to worry about with the DEA, with all of Ben's terrorist plots that he throws out. Just
hey, man, they weren't that bad.
They weren't terrible ideas, but that's the problem, Ben. They're too good.
That's exactly why it should be concerning.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Good ideas.
Well, here's the thing, though. I wasn't on a no-fly list, so I was able to fly.
Yeah, we both were able to fly since your revelation. So I guess we're okay. But I appreciate you saying that I'm not cooking the meth in my kitchen anymore. It's very important to note. I'm not doing it anymore, Mom. I don't think my mom listens to the show, because otherwise I'm sure she would have said something to me about all the horrible things I say at some point. And if
she
is listening,
I forwarded email right now.
Don't do that. It'll break her heart when she finds out that I used to be cooking meth. So donkeys and such, I don't know. I wouldn't like it. Even if it was something like super cuddly, even if it was like a wombat. Like if I woke up in a field of wombats, I would still be leery, even though they're terribly charming little creatures.
I mean, obviously you're taking one home still, but
well, yeah. I mean, that I don't even think that's up for debate. They're coming home with me, but
yeah.
But there's going to be a period of time where I'm going to think that my whatever heaven, hell, purgatory, endgame, or reincarnation is somehow in a field of wombats and or donkeys. I would genuinely be scared. I know me.
Actually, do you think this man actually thought he was died and was reincarnated as a donkey?
Possibly. I mean, at least for a split second, your brain has to think that until you get up and dust yourself off with your bipedalness.
Yeah, so many things have to go through your head when you get into that situation. But I don't discount any theory. But he thought he was a donkey at first. Maybe this is some weird Trek sequel he's in. It could be literally anything. But this is also, this is also a story where just the imagery makes everything. Because the phrase, woke up in a field of donkeys, is fantastic. But outside of this, it's a pretty straightforward idiot drunk driver story.
I feel like if Quentin Tarantino got to direct this moment, it would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, like the donkeys would be on fire though, and like it would be.
They'd all be wearing aviator sunglasses.
Yeah, one of them would be a race car, but also donkey.
and then Bruce Willis would be riding one of the donkeys.
Yeah, it'd be weird. Yeah. It'd be that one scene would be really cool, but the movie as a whole would be completely fucked.
I wonder if it would be, like, the unrelated sequel to Field of Dreams, Field of Donkeys.
Oh, that would be a terrible movie. If you build a Field of Donkeys, who's going to show up? The guy, the coffee guy?
Juan Valdez.
Juan Valdez? Yeah. Is that who shows up in this movie, Ben?
Yeah, sure.
Is it Kevin Costner as Juan Valdez? Otherwise, I'm not buying it.
Hey, Dad, do you want to brew some coffee? Perfect.
It's Kevin Costner as Juan Valdez in every single donkey. he's wearing a donkey costume the entire time.
Wait, is it just 100 Kevin Costners? Like 2.5 hours? Because I'm into it.
Kevin Costner plays every role. He also does the motion capture for the donkeys. Well, no, that's not true. Andy Serkis plays one donkey. He plays Juan Valdez's donkey. Because he has to.
So it's like Norbit, only better.
Yeah, way better. This will be way better, because Kevin Costner is twice the actor Eddie Murphy is. Wait, that doesn't sound right.
We could turn on some dangerous waters right there.
I don't know what happened, but I think we fixed Hollywood.
I think we've done it. We will all expect our checks. You're welcome. But this is actually a great segue into the game that I created for you guys for this week. So, Colin, when we have guests on, we like to play games. I know you're game for it. Too many games. But so here's what we're doing. I'm going to read you an Amazon review. So this is an honest-to-God review that someone left on the site Amazon about a movie. And I only picked ones that I either thought were super funny or were kind of preposterous or just struck me as interesting. So an example is, and I already read it to you guys, but I'll read it for the listeners because I think it's very funny.
It's beautiful, really.
It is. It is very poetic, and it does kind of sum up the movie in a very pessimistic kind of way. This is a review for Shawshank Redemption that I found on Amazon. I didn't need to sit through 90 minutes just to see a guy going through a crap tube barfing up his guts. Oh, give that guy an Oscar. More like Shawshank congestion. It's like some twisted kind of Karate Kid who's mute and has a sort of Southern fried Yoda for a companion. But then he's always barfing and swimming in poop. It gets disgusting, and after a while, you're like, I get it. Shawshank Redemption, 1 star. So I'm going to read you reviews that will have little hints here and there, but not too much. And then I'm going to give you 3 choices, and then you pick which movie you think it is.
Sounds
fair enough?
Good.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so we'll start with, so the first 3 are going to be good movies, or movies that are deemed as very good movies. So the general consensus is these are great movies. But then these are terrible reviews of those movies, so people who didn't like them. So here's the first one. This deserves an X rating for all of the gratuitous violence. Little to offer to a Christian-based viewer who ascribes to humanist values. Okay, do you guys need me to read it again, or you think you got it?
I can take a pretty good stab at it, but...
All right, so here are the 3 choices. Goodfellas, The Godfather, or Requiem for a Dream.
I'm going Goodfellas.
I'm
going
to say Goodfellas.
You are both correct. The answer is Goodfellas. 1 star on Amazon for Goodfellas. Because of Christian values.
One of my all-time favorite films, and also the most hilarious thing to see on Lifetime's TV Guide part. I don't know why, but Lifetime shows that movie like more than anyone else. It's just terrible stories of women finding tragedy, and then Goodfellas every weekend.
That's a great advertisement for Lifetime. I bet you they'll sponsor this show now, Ben.
Probably.
Okay, now this one is my favorite review. I'm doing it early, but this one is by far what I think is the most hilarious one. You may disagree, but once you find out what the movie is, you'll understand why I find this so amazing. Am I the only one who noticed that the main character raped his thesis advisor's 16-year-old daughter? And don't tell me she was willing because she says, quote, I was a child. It was wrong and you knew it. End quote. Somehow I missed that when I watched these movies as a child. That and the maniacal grin he gets whenever he kills someone. I think he's kind of a psychopath. New paragraph. Then there's all the racism. End of paragraph. That's the review. Is it Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Back to the Future? Or Romancing the Stone?
Well, I've never heard of the third one.
You never heard of Romancing the Stone? Ben hasn't heard of a lot of movies. This should not be surprising, Colin. neither of us should have been that surprised.
Right.
Ben, Romancing the Stone is with Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas. It's actually a really good, like, adventure movie. I really like that movie a lot. It's a very good movie.
Okay, well, I vaguely know who Michael Douglas is. I don't know who that
okay.
is.
You know Back to the Future, though, right, Ben?
Yeah, I know Back to the Future and Indiana Jones.
I'm going to say this one's Indiana Jones.
I'm going to say it's Back to the Future.
Colin takes the lead. It is Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Then there's all the racism.
That's what hit me off.
What the fuck? What part of that movie has all the racism?
I guess against the Germans? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe against the Germans. I don't know.
That's just out,
but left that
field.
One is my favorite
that's
one.
Only the part of Indiana Jones where there's like native tribes people somewhere, and
yeah, no, that's the second one. The second one is the one where they visit the native Indians, the folks from India.
Right. Maybe he marathoned them and everything. Kind of.
Maybe I don't know, but that one I thought that's my favorite one for. I think it's just because of that one line. It's like a separate paragraph. Then there's all the racism, and I just think that's great.
Not a lot of people stick up for the Germans. I applaud that person.
historically. okay. So this is the last one of the good movies with bad reviews. Well, when I first watched this movie, after hearing how, quote, great, end quote, it was, I was hoping to see a Godfather Part 2-esque sequel. However, I got the opposite. Wow, what a boring, useless film. The acting is slightly better than the original, but that's it. I mean, the story is horrible. There is no ending, beginning, or anything. All we get are 122 minutes of clobbering battle sequences. Watch it for yourself to see how bad it is. F-.
Strong
words.
Is it
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back? Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers? Or The Matrix Reloaded?
Well, I can eliminate Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is about 5 hours long.
What do you think?
I'm going to say Star Wars.
I got The Two Towers.
Ben ties it up. That is Star Wars. The Empire Strikes Back.
Colin, the fact that it was 122 minutes, they tell you that's way too short for
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I just breezed right over that part and got to the clobbering battle scenes.
Yeah.
Because
that
got
really
excited because that movie's awesome.
Yeah. So, all right, so it's tied 2-2 going into bad movies with great reviews. Now, this first one is tricky because I really like the reviews, so this one's going to be a little different. I'll just kind of explain it as we go. It'll make sense, I promise. So of the three movies, they're spearheaded by one primary comedian. Okay? Does that make sense?
Okay.
So it's a terrible comedy that's spearheaded by one guy. So I'm going to read – whenever it talks about the lead actor, I'm going to read the three names. So you'll get a hint right away. It's one of three movies, one of three comedians. This is one of my favorite, quote, stupid humor, end quote, type of movies. There are parts of it that are completely shocking and absurd. Okay, now here's a specific name, but I'm going to give you the three of the lead actors. Tom Green, Carrot Top, or Dana Carvey really lets his true colors show in this one, whether he's covering himself with deer skin or playing with his umbilical cord. He is hilarious in the oddest way. There are tons of lines from this that my friends and I quote constantly. Believe it or not, there is an actual plot line. It's worth watching if you're a fan of this type of humor. Is it Master of Disguise, starring Dana Carvey, Freddy Got Fingered, starring Tom Green, or Chairman of the Board, starring Carrot Top?
I'm going to say Freddy Got Fingered.
I'm going to say Chairman of the Board.
Colin retakes the lead. That is Freddy Got Fingered, starring Tom Green. They gave that movie 5 stars. Now, keep in mind, that is still the record holder for the most Razzie Awards of all time. It is historically one of the worst films that has ever been made. Okay. Now, this next one I put in here specifically to screw with you guys because it's really bizarre. However, it is kind of funny, too. Are you American? If not, do you wish you were? This movie is right up there with Apple Pie and 4th of July fireworks. Lumberjacks, government conspiracy, action, fighting, shootouts, beautiful ladies, and smart aleck banter. If freedom isn't worth a $3 rental to you, then you probably answered no to both of my first two questions, and you've also likely stopped reading this review. Is it Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection? Movie 43? Or X-Men's Origins Wolverine?
I'm going to say X-Men Origins, Lumberjacks, Hugh Jackman, the whole Canadian thing. I get it.
I get it.
Oh, God. I want to say that, but I want to say movie 43.
Well,
so I'm going with that one.
You're going to go with movie 43?
Yes.
Colin takes a 2-point lead. That is X-Men Origins.
I'm terrible at these games.
I know you are. And this one was sort of, this one is not playing into your strong suit. But Colin is leading 4-2. Don't worry, Ben. You got time to come back. All right, this last one is just the greatest. This is the best musical I have ever seen. ... And I have seen a lot of musicals. The acting abilities of the two leads make the movie. But don't get me wrong, the supporting cast is top-notch as well. Not since Glitter with Mariah Carey have I been this jazzed on a movie.
Ugh.
Yeah, enjoy. Is it Mamma Mia, Rock of Ages, or From Justin to Kelly?
It is From Justin to Kelly, but those are three of just the worst things that have ever been sprung on mankind.
They're all very terrible. So you're going with From Justin to Kelly.
I believe I'm going to win, but the fact that those three movies exist means America loses something.
Yeah, we've all lost something.
Yes.
I have to agree with Colin there. I think it has to. If she likes Mariah Carey stuff, she's probably going to like that one.
You are both correct. From Justin to Kelly, the one and only American Idol film is the correct answer. So it's 5-3. Now, there are three more. These are just generic reviews that I liked that don't fall into any specific category. This one is probably the worst movie ever. I wish I had one good thing to say. Oh, younger J-Lo, I suppose. Is it Selena, Anaconda, or Jack?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say Jack.
Ben, Selena was about a Spanish singer. Anaconda was about a giant snake that starred Ice Cube. And Jack was a movie with Robin Williams where Jennifer Lopez was his teacher. All terrible in their own way.
I'll say the first one.
Selena?
Yeah.
This time, gentlemen, you are both wrong. That was for Anaconda. Anaconda.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe that one was a little too obvious.
Honestly, it could have been any one of them, though.
Yeah, it really could have. These last three are kind of like that. They could be any of them. This movie is so terrible that I'd like an apology from someone. I admit, I watched it out of pop culture curiosity, and it is vile. The lead actress has only one facial expression, parenthesis, disoriented anxiety. What's the end parenthesis? I don't know. Quick break. What is that? What is that called? Is it just another parenthesis?
Yeah.
Oh,
all
right.
You can just say in parenthetical.
Oh, there we go. That would have worked better. Anyways, going on. And I liken it to Harrison Ford in regarding Henry after he is shot in the head. Why is this person so irresistible? I suppose this would be cleared up if I read the book, but I cannot imagine willingly interacting with these characters again. Is it Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Rings? Twilight, Eclipse? Or Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban?
I gotta say Twilight.
It's Twilight. It's gotta be, right?
It is.
Yeah, they're talking about.
It's definitely Twilight. That one was a little too easy, but I just really like that review because they liken Kristen Stewart to Harrison Ford after he was shot in the head in another movie.
That's not a bad comparison.
It really isn't.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
All right, last one, Ben. Unfortunately, pal, I kind of knew you weren't going to win this game, but I had too much fun making it, so I hope you understand.
No, I have more fun playing it.
It's fun. Maybe we'll do it again, or maybe this will be Colin's special game, just so he can beat you every time that he's on the show. all right.
Last,
what?
So you got to make the guest feel good. You got to make him feel welcome.
Yeah, that's the key. All right, last one. If your definition of fun is having your brain vacuumed out of your head through your ears, then having your brain cooked in dust particles, I guess this movie is fun. It is very nearly the stupidest movie I've ever seen. I don't normally post reviews one way or the other, but this one deserves it. Spend 2 hours on something else. All caps. Anything else. Is it Pacific Rim, The Avengers, or Man of Steel?
Lou, did you write this one?
No, I did not write this one. However, I did include options, Ben, that would throw you off, possibly. Because two of these three movies I loathe entirely. So this one's just for pride.
I'm going to guess it was Man of Steel.
I want to say it was Pacific Rim.
Well, Ben, even though you didn't win, you only lost by one. It is Pacific Rim.
One of the
worst movies I have seen in a long time.
I like it. I think it's good.
It is not good.
I actually never saw that one. Wasn't Charlie in that?
Yes, and he plays Charlie just as a doctor?
Scientist.
Whatever. Doctor, scientist, it doesn't fucking matter. He's just Charlie. He's just selling kitten mittens. It's not any good. And that Charlie Hunnan, who's on Sons of Anarchy, supposedly on that show he's amazing, but in this movie he is like cardboard cutout to the max.
I think Sons of Anarchy is going to be one of those shows that I watch like 5 years after it's over.
Yeah, well, that's how I am with Breaking Bad. So, yeah, I'll probably be that way, too.
Yeah, I'm that way with Breaking Bad also, so.
Yeah. But I hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed looking for them. I read some just fantastic shit. Just unbelievable crap.
That was an impressive game construction. I'm proud of you, Lou.
Thanks, buddy.
That was done really well.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
A lot of hard work went into that, so yeah. I give you applause for that.
And you know, the best part is, guys, I got paid to do it. The best part about it, I got paid to do it.
Taking care of business,
care of business. I thought about doing a real headline or some shit that I just made up, but I thought this would be different and more fun. But that's a fun game, Con. We'll play that sometime when you're on.
Yeah.
That's just a game where you have to gauge my bullshit meter, which, Ben, you're actually pretty good at that game, aren't you? I think you are better at that game than the other games.
Yeah, I think I know you a little too well now.
Yeah, so that game might be hard for you to not beat people in. But anyways, well, let's get back into some news. From Providence, Rhode Island, a very special gentleman named John Lorenko was arrested on Sunday, and three more times on Monday. He smashed three of his cars separately. And so the long and the short of it is this dude got four DUIs in about 36 hours. Ben, we have people on here who do amazing, stupid things. This is something special.
With this being the case, I have to really question the judicial system of Rhode Island, because aren't you typically supposed to be like in jail for a day after that?
I think that Rhode Island should just keep on keeping on. Good for you, Rhode Island. You're such a small state. Who gives a fuck? Like, they're not going to cause any huge damage. The state's like the size of my fingernail on a map.
Which is an accurate assessment, actually. No, it's, when you told me about that story, I had assumed immediately that it was right here in Wisconsin, because we're the only state in the country that doesn't have a first-time drunk driving felony charge.
No, Alaska doesn't.
Well, Alaska's barely a real state.
I know, but I'm just saying, Alaska is another one that doesn't.
Any place where your two major forms of transportation are dog and airplane does not count towards real life.
You're forgetting moose.
Yeah, I think moose is probably ahead of air travel.
When your favorite hobby is survival, that's not a real thing.
when you can see Russia from your backyard.
You guys, you want to come in the basement and check out my survival? Come on.
I just skinned this bear this morning.
Not because I needed the meat, but because he was going to eat my children.
And plus, it's a fun pastime for us up here in Alaska.
Because everything revolves around death in Alaska. That's why.
That's probably true.
I feel like Maine is like the inland version of Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
I don't know.
Ben, you know why this guy's something special? The 4 DUIs in 36 hours is awesome. Like it's truly a feat that maybe can never be replicated. But the last time he got arrested, he really upped the ante, and he threw a bottle full of piss at a police officer.
Oh, man.
So he Lloyd Christmased into a bottle, and then he chucked it at the cop. And that really elevates, for me, that elevates this guy to truly being, he might be a Man of the Year candidate for our End of the Year show. He's something special.
Well, I would say no, because one of his four adventures out with drunk driving, he hit a family's SUV and injured two children. So that kind of takes away the Man of the Year credentials
for me.
Ben,
you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
That's true.
The kid didn't die, so I think we're in the clear. We'll see how he stacks up at the end of the year.
All geniuses were misunderstood in their own time.
You know, you're absolutely right, Colin. You're absolutely right. Look at Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will go down as one of the ballsiest, most all-American 36-hour stretches that have ever existed.
Possibly, yeah, you know what?
Paul Revere.
You know what would be an amazing movie is what he did in the in-between time. I think an amazing movie would be the 36 hours that he spent in between his four DUIs.
Starring Kevin Costner?
No, fuck Kevin Costner. We need to give this to a real actor. Sidney Pollack. Who can barely walk. He's like 90 years old.
This is a... That would work like a chess game, sort of a strategic chess match between this drunken buffoon and the state police of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
You cannot stop this man no matter what they do.
It would be interesting.
So it was like Speed 3?
No, so it'd be like it'd be like Fast and the Furious, but with a James Bondy twist almost. Like he has to keep, or like that movie, that terrible movie Crank with Jason Statham, he has to keep drinking booze to stay alive. But he also has to deliver money, otherwise his family is going to get killed. And so these cops are trying to stop him, and he's trying to tell them, no, no, you don't understand. I have to keep drinking. And then he pounds a bottle of Jack Daniels and hits the road.
So what he's doing is mathematically, he's going in and looking at, in a 36-hour time span, if he gets arrested four times, he can do that within 9 hours of each occurrence.
Sure. So he's covering 9 miles, although it'd have to be shorter if we made a movie, because nobody's going to believe that it took him 36 hours to cross Rhode Island.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's going in strategically.
Would take 36 hours to cross Rhode Island.
And that's how we justify it. He keeps getting pulled over because he's going 5 miles an hour.
Or it's like the National Lampoon's where they're going around Parliament and Big Ben.
Oh, yeah, they just keep going around in the circle.
Yeah.
But, you know what? And his blood alcohol was never like... We've had people on here with way higher blood alcohol contents. Like
they should be dead.
Yeah, like this guy, his was a .22, which, I mean, like, again, by news chew standards that's fucking nothing. Fish in a barrel.
Just last week,
legal standards. By legal standards, that's thrice.
Yeah, this lady last week tried to kill her husband with bacon. She blew a .34. She was annihilated. She was one sip of scotch away from death. A .22, man, that's child's play on this show.
It's amateur hour over here.
Yeah, and
together Rhode Island.
Yeah, man, that ain't shit. .22, let that man drive.
But only in Rhode Island.
Yeah, only in Rhode Island. Yeah, stay out of my fucking state. We got enough to worry about.
And only in that circle in Rhode Island.
I got people who are only doing drunk driving one time to worry about. I don't need people doing it four times every 36 hours. It's too much.
But, yeah, it does make me question the Rhode Island judicial system if the man has 4 DUIs and still can drive.
Yeah, no, well, see, here's the thing. You live in a place where laws seem to make sense, apparently. Because this is, for me and for Lou and I, this is an unsurprising story for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
A, a drunk driver. B, driving with that high of a BAC.
Yeah.
C, the fact that he had multiple DUIs, because there are people in Wisconsin that continue to have a driver's license 11 or 12 DUIs later.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What's impressive about it is the short amount of time in which he continued to apparently get off with a warning.
Like, yeah, that's amazing.
The same officer had to have caught him twice.
Just by sheer numbers, right?
Yeah, so I'm trying to work this out in my head. The same guy nabbed him, like, the first and fourth time. And at some point, he had to be thinking, shit, I knew this was going to happen.
So, you have to wonder, was he drunk 4 different times, or was he drunk, like, 2 different times?
No, I think he was drunk all 4 times.
My hope is that he was on a 36-hour bender and he was just moving from bar to bar and just kept getting busted.
Yeah, and let's also keep in mind, though, that blood alcohol content reading, that was the fourth, that was after the fourth pullover. So, I mean, he may have been, you know, it may have been worse at some point.
So we have 3 numbers yet to work out, is what you're saying.
Exactly. We have 3 missing pieces of evidence to truly
What if he got the first one and he was like 0.41? Some just astronomical, unbelievable, superhuman drug.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
He'd be a superhero.
And then he didn't have it, like, and then he swore off alcohol after that first DUI.
Uh-huh.
But he still had to do stuff for the next 36 hours. Man's got
That's
a job,
true.
He has to live his life. And every time he got caught, it's still just leaving his system.
Because it was Sunday night into Monday morning, so it's entirely possible that the first one happened Sunday night. He was like, I'm done drinking, but then he had to get up and go to work. And let's say he was drunk the whole day through work. If you have a 0.41, you are really drunk. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right.
Benjamin, this may be the redemption story of the year. This man could be, you know, trying to get his life together, and then these goddamn cops are just harassing him.
Fucking fuzz.
Exactly.
Which is why he got the bottle of piss and threw it at them.
Yeah, that's what. Man,
damn,
that's
man.
Boom, like a boss. I got piss on your little cop costume.
I feel like I said that at some point in my life.
And I think that the most hilarious part about this thing is it says he was charged with drunk driving and released to his parents.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
The man's 53, let's keep that
in
mind.
So like his old ass parents.
And then he was grounded.
Well, no, he lives in their basement. He probably lives in their basement.
Yeah.
Poor bastard. Speaking of poor bastards, let's go to our next story. And you'll never guess what state this next story takes place in. Anybody?
Can I say Florida?
You can say Florida. Good work. It is Florida. Because, you know, I don't even look. We're at a point in this show where I don't even look where something comes from anymore. Ben, you're probably the same way. We look at so many stories during the week that I don't even care where they're from until we're actually doing the show. When I'm reading them, I don't really pay attention. And over the last few weeks, I've noticed that when we get to do the show, I look and go, oh, Florida. That's, of course, because that's where all of the craziest people in our country go to live their life.
It's America's basement, of course.
It's ridiculous. Well, this guy, though, his was an avoidable tragedy, but kind of funny nonetheless. The headline reads, on-duty Florida bus driver pulls over, solicits prostitute. Now, I looked at the picture, you know, whatever. He's not Denzel. So, I mean, you know, whatever. But, I mean, he paid her $20 for, they didn't say, but, you know, $20 can't go a long way. Well, but then again, in Sarasota, Florida.
But how long can it go in Florida?
Right, that's true. Sarasota, Florida, rest area, cooker. I mean, yeah, $20 is probably all you need.
Live
but,
like a king of $20.
Yep.
And then you have some change. You never know.
Oh, Christ.
Wow, that's classy stuff.
And that's including a tip.
Gross.
Is a tip required?
I don't think you tip prostitutes. I mean, I guess you could. If we're talking a Julia Roberts hooker, yeah, you tip that woman. You know?
I guess it depends on the effort, really, right?
Yeah.
You expect a tip for good service.
I think the difference is, there's a difference between being a hooker and being an escort. Because escorts are usually a little classier. If she's just a good old-fashioned Sarasota sidewalk street hooker, you know, I mean, let's be real. We all know what this is.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Monster? She was a hooker at rest stops in Sarasota, Florida. So let's all take a second.
Let's take a minute to think in for you.
Yeah, let's just take a minute and think about that and just assume that this dude was into that.
Because who isn't, really?
I'm not.
Ben, looks, I know you're with me.
She looks like an English bulldog.
I've never even heard of the movie, so...
Of course.
Yeah, Ben, I know you don't get that reference. Look up Eileen Wuornos, Ben. Just do that for me.
How do you spell that?
Eileen, E-L-A-I-N-E. Wuornos is like W-E or W-U-O-R, something like that. It should pull up. She's a very famous serial killer.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah. She was a Sarasota rest stop hooker at one point. So, boom!
Can I say how glad I am that we have his reaction to that picture on tape?
Yeah, I like that. Sometimes Ben needs the visual when I make references to movies, and usually I get a good reaction from those, and that was no disappointment. Yeah. that's what we're working with, fellas. So this dude, who is a city bus driver, it's unbelievable. It's just the best. But you know, on the plus side, if you do it in a bus, I mean, the position possibilities are fucking endless.
That's true.
I mean, you have a lot of room to work with, and you have a lot of different places to get some decent leverage. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's all the bars and handles and...
Exactly. I mean, I'm just saying.
No,
he had the right idea.
I will say this. If you are a bus driver, you probably have a higher chance of really wanting to just go to town on a chick in a bus. Let's start there.
I mean, you're absolutely not wrong.
So right away, I can come, I've never been a bus driver, but I can come from a certain level of empathy with him that if you're spending all that time in a bus and you're a dude, naturally your thoughts are going to wend to the way of, how would I do it with a girl if I was doing it in a bus? I get that. And then suddenly, opportunity arises. There is this thing on the side of the road who appears like the type of person you wouldn't have to talk into having sex with on a bus.
Right.
So really break it down, it doesn't seem that... It's surprising it doesn't happen more often, I guess.
Well, it probably does, but it's probably just in Florida where it's more prominent.
Right. It probably happens in places where they find it less odd.
Yeah. Well, I think hookers thrive in a certain climate, too. I mean, you really, this here in Milwaukee, you're not going to get... I feel like you're not going to see them as often just because there's so many months of the year where it's just hard to be out on the street that long.
Right.
But it's funny that the person he tried to pick up was an undercover cop, so...
Oops.
I mean, points for trying?
Well, that's where it all falls down, of course. But
right, and I mean, that's the risk.
It's plans, mice, and men and all that.
If you know nothing about prostitution, you should at least know that if you get a prostitute, there is a chance that you will pick up an undercover cop. Like, that's something that you should know just from television, movies, media in general.
Right.
It's probably a 50-50 shot.
I would like to say this. If you don't know anything about prostitution, just... don't get involved in it.
That's like, also fair. That's good advice, Colin. I think that's good advice.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a game that anyone should really get involved in. We'll start there. But then if you're in your bus driver costume, that makes it even worse. And if you're currently on that bus, I mean, what did you think was going to happen there? Even if it wasn't an undercover cop, how does he get away with that? I assume there's cameras on the bus. I assume he has a name tag.
Well, that, and it was 9:30 in the morning, right. So it's not like it wasn't late out.
Go with me on this for a second, fellas. I had a little lightning strike when Colin said something. If you were going to pick up a hooker, wouldn't you, like, plot something out where you, like, had the hooker get on the bus, give you the 20 like it was fair for the bus, then go, like, somewhere inconspicuous, like, turn off the lights and do your thing? Because there's nothing weird about a hooker getting on a bus.
No, as a matter of fact, that's the most normal thing about this story.
Well, but that's not really how he did it, but parked the bus in a fucking dead-end alley, got out of his bus, started walking over towards her. He kind of went the other way on that one.
Now, do we have confirmation that were there other people on this bus? Was this an off-duty bus?
You know what? I did not find anything that...
No, he was on duty.
He was on duty. I know that, but it didn't say if there were, like, people on the bus or not.
My assumption is no people were on the bus, because I want to give this dude one slice of the benefit of the doubt here.
I can't imagine that he would do it with someone on the bus, I guess. Like, I can't... I can't think of any reason, like, why you would justify that to yourself. Like, oh, hold on a second, I need to get a Hummer from this toothless whore. I will be right back, so just chill. I know I said that I'd get you there at 9:13... It's going to be more like 9:19 to 9:20. Maybe 9:21.
That's the part that he obviously didn't think through. Man, you are on a tight schedule.
Yeah, man. You got places to be, people to pick up, unless you're a two-pump chump or something, which is entirely possible. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, no, and maybe he made peace with that, and he really had to get it done today.
Yeah, man. It's entirely possible, but, you know, again, let's all... As a trifecta, let's all agree that picking up hookers in the state of Florida based off of the pictures of Eileen Wuornos is not something that should be done. Agreed?
I can agree with that.
Okay, great. I'm glad that we've all come to a consensus on that. I think we've made peace with this story. We can move on to our final story, which typically we save sort of something way out there for the last story. This is a much simpler story, but also just a really weird story.
Wait, I think we're missing one.
Oh, did we miss one?
Yes.
Which one are we missing?
The dude with the refrigerator.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, the one about the, satanic one.
Oh, were we gonna do the Florida teaching Satan? how about this? Just cause I know we're running at about an hour now. Florida is now, providing children, satanic workbooks. By satanic, of course, I just mean non-denominational type workbooks to please the atheist crowd. So that's it.
Because fucking of course they are.
Yeah. So they're so overly religious, but they're also so sensitive to offending every person on Earth that now they're just going to teach Satanism, which is fine. Whatever. I believe that children should have a faith system. And Satanism.
If that's what they're into, you know, more. This is America.
If love and Beelzebub is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Well, here's the thing, though, is I was actually looking up stuff about this. And Satanism isn't what you think it is. It really isn't. It's more about, like, having the freedom to choose what you want to believe. When I was reading, it has nothing to really do with actually worshiping Satan.
Well, I choose to believe in Satan. And,
well, then that's fine.
I choose to believe in Charles Bronson.
Terrific.
But
Florida must respect my right to Bronsonism.
But I'm just saying that's the misconception a lot of people have with Satanism, is they think it has to do with Satan. Actually, nothing to do with Satan at all.
Well, when you use a term like Satanism, I mean...
Yeah, it's very poorly named.
Yeah,
let's get that out there.
You really are, you know, you're muddying the waters, we'll put
it
that.
But you guys, isn't it time we put the Satan back in Satanism?
If we're going to put the Christ back in Christmas, I'm putting the Satan back in Satanism.
Thank you. End of discussion. We've agreed.
Can we end that with a hallelujah yes, or that
hallelujah?
Or that not be appropriate for Satanism?
Nope. I don't know what I would say, though. Hail Satan!
He was an angel, too. Let's not forget that.
He was. Yeah, he was an angel once. But hail Satan.
And we're moving.
And we're going. So, now our final story. Man, the headline reads, man accused of calling 911 to complain about not having a refrigerator. A 60-year-old man this week kept calling. He called 911 eight times in 2 hours to complain because he had food but no refrigerator. he told the operator that his phone could only dial 911, so he was just going to have to keep calling. So eventually they told him that it wasn't an emergency, but he told them that he didn't really care. So he just kept calling 911. And he knew that none of the calls were emergencies. He admitted that to police. So,
well, I mean, the food would go bad. That's pretty much an emergency, right?
I mean, if why would his phone only be able to call 911? And the only thing that I could think of was, did his family, like, get him a cell phone? Because he's an older guy. And was he, like, in the emergency, like, where the reception was only for emergencies, where the only thing you can do is call 911? That was the only thing I could think of.
I think he probably had the jitterbug, that, you know, enormous old person phone that has six buttons.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, but this story touches kind of close to my heart, mainly because, A, I've had refrigerator problems in the past, and when you're in it, it does feel like an emergency. We'll say that.
I believe it.
But number two, in my business, I get a lot of these types of phone calls where people are concerned about things like the vapor trail from airplanes going over their house. Packer injuries that are somehow a conspiracy.
What kind of conspiracy?
Police telling people they have to kill their dogs.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, these are the types of things that I get routinely in my business, especially when I'm working, you know, say Saturdays in the middle of the day. And so I applaud dispatch people for having to deal with stuff like that, because I'm not compelled legally to take these calls as a matter of seriousness, and I can't imagine any amount of money that would make me want to deal with those with a matter of seriousness.
So you have to wonder exactly how the officers can, A, not, like, just... Because you can't really block the number, I don't think.
I don't think 911 is allowed to block a number. I don't think that's something that's allowed, like, legally.
No, but you have to wonder how they just... Like, if they're just hanging up on the man as he keeps calling back, if they're actually going through a full conversation with him.
You have to take every 911 call as if it's a real 911 call.
Yep. That's...
There's simply no other way to handle it. Otherwise, you can't really let it go to voicemail because you're like, oh, don't get me started on this fucking guy. Like, it's... You have to assume it's an emergency, which is what, you know, which is why misuse of 911 is a crime. But, I mean, at some point you think... You have to go in for, like, a welfare check or something. I'll tell you a quick story. I was in the last time I was in Utah, I was staying in a condo. And the phone lines were crossed. Like, they had reinstalled cable and internet from a different company. And so the phone lines were crossed. And so the router, I shit you not, the router was making 911 calls.
Oh, wow.
It was
crazy.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And we got a police officer to our condo twice a day for 9 of the 12 days that I was there.
Holy shit.
Right. And these police officers were the most just upset people having to make this house call again and again, because they all knew that it was not us doing it, but they had to make the welfare check. So they come knocking on the door, and, like, the first couple times they were like, oh, I don't know what happened, but, you know, you guys said you didn't do it, not a big deal, we'll leave. And then, like, the other time they come in, and they just kick the bottom of the door, and we'd open up, and we'd be like, dude, it's not us. And they, just furious people.
That's weird. So, Mormons are usually very peaceful people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Mormons are not known for their grumpy, passive-aggressive, snarky attitudes.
Yeah.
So maybe we just won the lottery in terms of the, Park City Police Department. I mean, most of them were really nice, but, you know, they would come in and they'd be like, seriously, guys, you have to figure out what's going on because we can't handle this shit anymore. A police officer told me he couldn't handle this shit.
Well, I appreciate his honesty and forthrightness.
Yeah, the canter was wonderful. It was refreshing, honestly.
I bet. I appreciate it, and I wasn't even there. Well, I feel bad for Homie and not having a refrigerator, but also, isn't that something that could have been resolved, you know, in the 59 years of life he had prior to that moment? I'm just floating that out there. Just as a Hail Mary.
Or the 2 hours he had calling the police about not having a refrigerator?
Yeah, he could have remedied that situation in those 2 hours, for sure.
Yeah.
I just feel like that makes a world of sense to do that. But, I mean, this is Florida, where common sense just does not even exist.
Yeah.
My concern here is that, A, I've never rented a property or moved into a property that doesn't have a refrigerator standard.
Yeah, that's a good point.
As a renter, and now I'm looking at this gentleman's mugshot, and he looks like the type of person who rents.
we try not to profile people by their pictures on this show, Colin, except the exact opposite of that.
Perhaps he moved into a new house and it didn't come in with the refrigerator. Maybe he bought it. I don't know. But refrigerators are generally commonplace inside of residences. We'll say that.
Can I just point out that his name is Dick Wild?
Oh, yeah, you can. I was waiting. I can't believe that no one had until this point. His name is totally Dick Wild. That's right up there with some of... We've had some really great names lately. We've had Crystal Metheny.
Cameo Crispy.
Cameo Crispy. And now Dick Wild.
That's great.
That's awesome name.
Is your end of the year recap going to have a best name?
Yeah, it's going to have to now that we have three such outstanding people to be on it. Well, Crystal Metheny will, I mean, she'll always be my favorite. Like, the fact that that is a thing is just outstanding.
But, he basically said he would keep calling 911 until he received, quote-unquote, satisfaction with his complaint about the landlord. So his complaint necessarily wasn't about not having a refrigerator, it was about the landlord not providing one.
Okay, so his heart was in the right place, he just didn't know who to call.
Right.
Yeah, again, this is something I've come across in my... I work in a newsroom, and that's... we basically... Our job is to Google stuff for old people sometimes. So I understand how this came about. I'm just confused as to how 911 was the only place he thought he could go.
That's... I don't know, because I feel like the landlord might have... I mean, there's got to be a boss for the landlord, right?
Oh, yeah, there's tenant laws. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know why he wouldn't think going to that would be, I don't know, a more ideal solution than going to the police.
Well, I think let's draw the dots. You think, landlord doesn't give me a refrigerator. This must be illegal. I'm going to call the cops. When you connect the dots that way, it makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense, obviously, because there's no way that 911 can do anything about you not having a refrigerator, at least in the immediate future. So
I don't. Even if they could, I don't think there's anything they would do because they're not just gonna. The police don't just bring you a fucking refrigerator.
They don't have them in the police department. I'm pretty confident they have one, but that's probably for them, for their lunches and stuff. They can't just give out refrigerator. If they give a refrigerator to Dick Wild, then they have it to give it to everyone else.
I guess when they. Kept getting calls from him. I bet they were saying, "I want off the wild ride."
Oh,
Ben, you amaze me sometimes. That one hurt my heart a little bit.
I think we just end the show now on that, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Yeah. So we'll
we're never getting higher than that.
No, that's well. I mean, I might because I get this every week. So. But, Colin, do you have anything that you'd like to plug? Shows, blogs, things you're working on?
I work on almost nothing now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I've built a nice, tidy wall between my professional self and my personal self, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Good work.
It's sort of like being Bruce Wayne and Batman, except I don't really do anything all that important or badass. The costumes are pretty much the same, but everything else is markedly different. But no, I'm just, I'm just going to keep on keeping on and probably hop on with you two a few more times if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'm into that for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime. I didn't mean to, like, just invite myself back. But,
no,
you know,
for sure.
I felt like I did a killer job. I'm going to be honest. I did great today.
You...
and I deserve...
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Well, Colin, we'll have to get an Amazon review and see what they say about it. So
yeah,
yeah.
I wish we could get an Amazon review.
I await their comments.
Yeah. let's see. You can follow us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can also find us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can email us, and I don't know if you've been sending us emails, but I've been getting a lot of articles lately, Ben. You?
No.
Oh. Well, send us emails then at, what is it, Ben? Is it?
NewsChewWithBenAndLou@gmail.com.
We dropped the. Yeah. So, I have nothing left to say. Ben, parting words?
Live long and prosper.